Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So, well, what a damp squib all that was, Catherine Whittaker. We spent 2 days trying to build up to Serena Williams against Maria Sharapova, and it hasn't happened. Here we are, sitting on a Monday evening. Welcome, everybody, by the way, to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. We'd love to tell you all about the wonderful match that Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova had, but it didn't happen. And I am currently sitting at I'm currently sitting at Surbiton Racquet and Lawn Tennis Club in London, where a lovely grass court tennis tournament is going on, a challenger event. Just seen Mikhail Yuzhny walk past. And Catherine is at Roland Garros licking her wounds a little bit because the big match didn't happen. What has happened today, Catherine?
Oh, what an absolute stinker of a disappointment, David. Just an absolutely horribly flat day here at Roland Garros. I should say that Fabio Fognini is doing his best to make it not so. He is currently at 3 points all in the fourth set tiebreak, attempting to come back from two sets to love down against Marin Cilic and take it into a fifth and give the Philippe Chatrier crowd a reason to leave Roland Garros happy today, because I would imagine that for a good portion of the day they were feeling not so. They got an absolute demolition job from Halep on Elise Mertens. They got pretty much close to that from Kazatkina on Wozniacki. They got a non-event in Serena Williams and Maria Sharapova, and then for a while it looked like Marin Cilic was going to bulldoze his way past Fabio Fognini. So the Italian, after again what must be a truly miraculous turn from the physio who was called to court after the first set. He's doing his best to give them something to be happy about. So good on him. But other than that, David, a stinker.
I mean, basically, the facts of the matter, as I understand them, as I sit here on a lovely deck chair, a wooden deck chair in Surbiton, is that about half an hour before Serena Williams against Maria Sharapova was due to take place, Serena, the word started to go around, didn't it? Rumours started to surface, and a word coming from France Television through Guy Forget, the tournament director, was that there was an issue for Serena Williams, that she was not fit and that she might not be able to play. And then I believe there was a press conference called, and lo and behold, that's what happened. She's got an arm problem, hasn't she?
It's actually a right pectoral problem, I believe, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. It might be something relating to the fact that she's still breastfeeding, something that was very interestingly and candidly documented, I think, in the documentary she's done being Serena, but also in the interview that she did with Chris Clary, who was on the podcast yesterday. She's had to continue breastfeeding longer than she intended to. I mean, just another layer of mind-boggling athleticism and perseverance from Serena to be breastfeeding throughout everything that she's putting her body through on the tennis court as well. But a right pectoral injury. There were warning signs last night when she and Sister Venus were playing doubles. They went out in the doubles. It was a 2-hour long match. I've seen quite a few people raise eyebrows about the fact that she was playing the doubles, the fact that she hadn't pulled out of the doubles after progressing so far in the singles. And who knows, maybe it wasn't prudent for her to have been toiling away on the doubles court late last night with, by all accounts, a waning serve. I believe her service speed had dropped off to sort of half of its expected velocity by the end of that match. So a few people that had caught flashes of that match had flagged that there were potential issues with Serena, but I don't think anyone dared believe that it might be so, that we actually might be denied the spectacle that we'd all rested all of our hopes on to set fire to this tournament. It's not been a bad tournament, but it felt like we needed that, you know. It really did feel like, okay, this is what we've spent 9 days waiting for. And for it just not to happen. Oh, goodness, David. It's an absolute bummer.
I was just thinking that that the sheer level of hype that we've all put into this, and it's all been really natural as well. There's not been a person I haven't spoken to who hasn't been excited about this, regardless of the fact that it was 18 or 19-2 in terms of the head-to-head. The fact is that people were just really up for this, and therefore for it to not to happen just is a real shame. I think that everybody's just really disappointed on that level. I was trying to think, when was the last time, as Dan Evans walks past and waves, so hello Dan, I was trying to work out, when was the last time the tennis world was this down in the dumps about a match that didn't happen? I mean, it probably be one of those Federer and Nadal matches at the US Open when everybody thinks that's going to happen, and then lo and behold, somebody else beats one of them and gets in the way.
Well, there was Federer withdrawing from the final at the O2, wasn't there, a couple of years back?
Yeah,
that
true.
That was pretty big. They managed to cobble together an exhibition match at very short notice, which is pretty good going, I would say, from the organisers there. But yeah, this has got to rank right up there. And you have to wonder, and we can only wonder.
Did she go and talk to the crowd at all?
No, there was speculation that that might happen. And actually, by the time it was announced to the Philippe Chatrier court, there wasn't quite the consternation, the murmur and the gasp that we thought there might be, because I think a lot of people had looked at their phones or had been sent text messages or seen Twitter or whatever and had got wind of the news. So there wasn't that dramatic intake of breath that a lot of people were expecting. And yeah, we're left to speculate as to whether, if it hadn't been a match against Sharapova, whether she would have given it a go, you know, whether she, you know, it was the fact that it was Sharapova and she doesn't want to give away anything, give away any edge, risk any kind of beating at the hands of Sharapova, whether it would have been different if it had been, you know, taking the risk of losing and not being able to perform against somebody different. We will never know, David. I'd love, though, to be inside the mind of Maria Sharapova today.
Yeah, I mean, because she's kind of stopped the run, but only with a walkover of 18 match wins in a row for Serena Williams. I think we'll find out, depending on when Serena next plays the sport, to some degree. I mean, if she were to be able to play after a week off, say, and come out and play maybe Birmingham or Eastbourne the week after or something like that, maybe you might. I could certainly imagine, I don't know this for a fact, of course, but I could certainly imagine that if she's thinking, well, I don't feel 100% here, I don't feel that fit, and I am not going to lose this record against Maria Sharapova by being anywhere short of 100% fit. I could imagine her feeling like that. I may be wrong, but I could certainly imagine that.
Sharapova now plays Muguruza, David, so it's not like the challenge gets all that much easier for her. Muguruza, who continues, okay, she got a bit lucky today with the retirement of her opponent, Lycia Cyrenko. They ended up having to play on court number one, actually. That match moved because Longlen was progressing so slowly today. I mean, it feels like there have been more shifts and more moving parts and more bizarre decisions in the scheduling here this year than ever before, I have to say. But yeah, Muguruza barely breaking a sweat to make it through to the quarterfinals. So, yeah, it's not like Sharapova can go, oh, great, the test is over, I will process to the final now. I think she's the underdog against Muguruza, I do.
Who did Muguruza beat again?
Lisha Sorenko, David, by retirement in the end, a leg injury for Sorenko.
Dear.
So yeah, a real shame. To have another
not having much luck
injury
today,
an injury infected matchup, and I'm afraid as much as there were impressive performances from Halep and Kerber, their two matches rather disappointed as well. I mean, Halep was blistering, David. Elise Mertens didn't do much wrong, and she lost 6-2, 6-1. She looked so shell-shocked. She looked like she looked like she didn't know what had happened to, whether she was coming or going. Poor Elise Mertens ended the match on a double fault, couldn't get out of there quick enough. Similarly, Angelique Kerber, I can't believe Caroline Garcia wasn't able to give her a slightly better match, 6-2, 6-3. But Kerber, 12th seed, not being talked about. She's being very low-key here. Eurosport saying that she's not being rude. She's doing everything that's required of her, but she is definitely aiming to keep herself more away from the spotlight and do less media and just, you know, get back to basics a little bit here. And hey, on her weakest surface by far, it's, you know, quarterfinal is already a good result for her here, I think, in her own mind, certainly. So she's now playing with house money from here on in. She does have the number one seed next. That's a bit of a complicating factor. But yeah, I'm so impressed with Kerber to beat Garcia and Burtons consecutively. In straight sets, very, very impressive.
Yeah, it is. I have to say, I've always thought of her a little bit like Caroline Wozniacki on clay. It just doesn't really fit, and her game doesn't do that much damage. I would probably have picked today Garcia to have beaten Kerber before that match took place. I don't know about you. I would have thought she would have had a bit more spite on her shots and be able to dominate that
match.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I had Garcia at least in my quarterfinals, possibly more. I mean, some of the tennis I've seen her play this clay court season, David, has been sublime. And of course, some of the tennis she played at the back end of last season, similarly sublime. She can be just breathtaking. The sound the ball makes when it comes off her racket is almost peerless. It's almost like no other. And how she's not quite able to make it work when it matters most is a problem I hope she's looking to solve, frankly.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. The match that was on court before Serena Williams against Sharapova was due to get out there was Nadal against Martyra, Maximilian Martyra, who I haven't seen a huge amount of. What was that like? I mean, he's a lefty, isn't he? I know Chris Clary was talking about the incredible left-handed exchanges they were having, and he did. I think he broke Nadal for 2-love at the start of the match.
He did. Nadal came out looking a little bit nervous, playing a lefty he's never played before, not seen much of him play before. It definitely took him a few games to really get a handle on what was going on out there. But I spoke to Maximilian Martyra yesterday on the off-site practice courts, actually, just to get a bit of a preview of this match. Really sweet chap, really lovely guy. Little bit nervous, but very charming, very, very happy to talk. But I asked him about tactics. I said, you know, it's a big talking point this fortnight about, you know, how do you solve a problem like Nadal at Roland Garros, and, you know, why aren't people trying anything different against him, and you know, giving him, trying to surprise him, or, you know, take him out of his comfort zone. Why are people trying to beat him over at his own game? And that is patently not doable. And the poor guy, I think I sort of flummoxed him a bit. I felt really guilty for hitting him with, he really sort of, his eyes sort of went wide, and he went, oh, but you know, I don't think I can change my game, and you know, the only guy that's beaten him on clay this year is Dominic Thiem, and he hits it really big, so I think I'm just going to try and hit it really big and make him work hard for his points, and, you know, I'll see what happens. And I thought, bless you, mate, but that's not gonna work. Yeah, I'm not a tennis coach. I'm sure whatever I'd told him to do today wouldn't have worked either. But
you got a break first game.
Yeah, and then it all went downhill. I just thought, oh, bless you. It's just not going to work, and somebody needs to be brave enough to I don't know. It's interesting. I spoke, it was the Legends All Access Hour today, and I spoke to Michael Chang and asked him whether he would consider drop-shotting Nadal, and in a very long-winded way, very interesting long-winded way, he said yes. he would at the very least consider it. And I asked Marat Safin how he would approach trying to play Nadal here at Roland Garros, and he referenced the employment of a hitman. So yeah, that's your range of tactics to consider employing. Yeah,
I have to say I would love to have watched Marat Safin at his best have a go at Nadal, because his backhand was just so big, Safin, from the high up shoulder position where he would be hitting a lot of balls. I think that would be really been interesting to see him have a go. But
he certainly thought he would have had a chance.
And it's actually not that dissimilar to the way that Zverev plays the sport. So
he's a big fan of Zverev. Marat Safin, big
Safin
fan.
I felt had the better serve and the better forehand. But obviously Zverev's still very young. So I do feel that if Zverev just had enough left in the tank and had a really good day, he could be an interesting opponent for him. But still, on this court, if the sun shines, I mean, that's the other big thing, is the weather is a factor, and it's going to be very interesting to see in week two, because I believe there is due to be quite a bit of rain around in Paris in week two, isn't there?
Yes, David. Well, I have to say, there was rain forecast today, and I thought, right then, I'll dress warm, I'll dress practically, I'll wear my jeans and some trainers, and I have been a sweaty, hot mess all day. So it is yet another absolute horror show of a weather forecast from Parisian / French weather forecasters. I really need them to get their act together so that I can dress appropriately for the day ahead and not spend the day in a sweaty heap. Thanks very much. But yes, the forecast is dreadful. And another thing that Michael Chang had to say is that's pretty much the only thing he thinks that could give anybody a chance against Nadal. Heavy, damp conditions. He also said they should consider having a word with the guy that is so hilariously nicknamed Jose that waters down the court, because he uses a hose to do that. They should have a word with him and get him to water the court a little bit extra every day before it's played on, because that would make it heavier and would not favour Nadal. But I'm pretty sure that is outside of the rule book. So that probably falls somewhere in between underarm serve and hitman. On the tactics list.
No, I don't think that was going to wash somehow. Well, I've had a love. Do you want to know about my day, Catherine? Because I've had a lovely time.
I'd love to. That's what people tune into the tennis podcast for, isn't it, David?
Find out about my day in Surbiton. You don't understand. I've been to you've been faffing around on the clay in Paris. I've been to the Queen's Club today, where they've nearly completed building the centre court. The grass looks pristine, and they're dressing the sides, and it looks lovely. And then I've come over to Surbiton for this Challenger event, which I've never been to this tournament before. I don't know whether you've ever been, but it's just so interesting to see a tournament like this with lots of, you know, pretty well-known names. I mean, I'm literally sitting about 10 feet away at the moment from Mikhail Yuzhny, who's had his match today. He's having his dinner in the cafe. And everything is just so low-key by comparison to some of the international events that we see around the circuit. I remember talking to you about the Shrewsbury tournament that I went to back in February, and this is a step up from that in terms of there's a lot more matches. I mean, it's a higher-grade tournament. It's men's and women's, and it has a real history to it, this tournament. It didn't get played for a few years, but now is back the last few years, and it's just great. I mean, there's just row upon row of tennis matches taking place side by side. You know, some courts with quite a, you know, the centre court's got quite a big crowd, and then there's just a few people on the others. We were watching Alex de Minaur play, the young Australian, who, what a player he looks on grass. I mean, I actually came here, Catherine, to interview and to visit Leighton Hewitt, who's here playing doubles, and he's going to play doubles with Nick Kyrgios at the Fevertree Championships at Queen's in a couple of weeks' time. So I came here, and it's an interview that we'll be able to have for you here on the Tennis Podcast in the next couple of weeks. I'm not going to tell you all about it, because I don't want to give all the detail away, but he is just so interesting to talk to. Had half an hour with Leighton and watched his protege, Alex de Minaur. And, oh my goodness, it was so light watching Leighton at 19 years of age. You know, his ability to chase down balls and conjure lobs and passing shots out of nowhere and returns. It was fantastic to watch. So I think we could be seeing quite a bit more from Alex de Minaur on the grass over the next few weeks. He's certainly a heck of a talent. So what about tomorrow in Paris, Catherine? Because
hang on, David. Today is not yet done.
Oh, right.
Because Fabio Fognini, he's only blooming taken it to a fifth set, hasn't he?
Oh, really?
He has. He certainly has. 7-4 in the tiebreak, and Cilic serving 30-love, 1-2 in the fifth set. And it wouldn't be the first comeback from two sets love down today, because we have not yet mentioned, David, little Diego Schwartzman.
Oh, yes, of course, Diego. But in the first two sets, weren't they 6-2, 6-1 to Kevin Anderson, who is a good foot and a half
bigger than him? Yeah, 1-2. And Anderson served for the match in the third set and the fourth. Schwartzman took them 7-5, 7-6, 7-0 in that tiebreak, David. Can you imagine? I wasn't able to see it, but Kevin Anderson losing a tiebreak to zero.
Wow.
I mean, amazing. And then Schwartzman went on to get the double break in the decider. The scenes out on Suzhang Longlen were amazing. I mean, obviously the handshake at the net was quite the picture, but Schwartzman, just so much celebration. I mean, bless him. He's going to get crushed to smithereens, isn't he, by Nadal. The last thing you need when you're going to play Rafael Nadal at Roland Garros is a five-set comeback physical battle. But goodness me, he's done well.
I mean, yes, I think he will. But I also think that he's one of the few players that has the sort of artillery of ground strokes and the speed around the court to at least make it interesting. We'll find out.
I don't think, when I say crush the smithereens, I don't think it's going to be, you know, 1-2-2 or 2-2-3 even. I think there'll be, you know, some 6-4 sets, maybe even a 7-6. I think, you know, he'll never lie down, Diego Schwartzman. No. Yeah, he will, in the words of Maximilian Martyr, he'll make him work hard for his points and his win. And probably entertain the crowd a lot in the process. But I don't think there'll ever be a moment where we think, oh, hang on, the upset could be on here.
Right. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. So that happened. And so what else is happening tomorrow?
Tennis, David. Tennis is happening. And if you believe the weather forecast, which I'm sort of starting not to, rain is largely happening as well. Interesting decision from the organisers not to bring the start time of 2 p.m. forward tomorrow in anticipation of all that rain. I mean, frankly, it might be because the forecast for the morning up until 2 p.m. is every bit as bad. But amazingly, I mean, we're already into quarterfinals, David. I can't quite believe we're at the quarterfinal stage. But unsurprisingly, they've put team against Zverev as the centre court Philippe Chatrier match tomorrow starting at 2 p.m. local time, followed by Stevens Kazatkina, which I love the look of, and then Putin Saver against Madison Keys is the that's the first match on Longlen, sorry, second match on Longlen, Cecchinato against Novak Djokovic. But yeah, Stevens and Kazatkina, team and Zverev, settle in, it's going to be good.
Some nice matches there on paper, aren't there? I mean, you can imagine the way that the Kazatkina and Stevens sort of paint their pictures on a tennis court against anybody, and to do that against each other, I think that will be a really beautiful match to watch in terms of the rally types they have.
Oh yeah, I love Dario Kazatkina. I watched her courtside yesterday, I think I said, for the first time. I've obviously watched her play plenty before, but watching her right up close and the what she does with the tennis ball is absolutely amazing. The angles she creates, she's really got a great tennis brain. She's got the perfect game for clay. She looks like she was sliding in the womb. I mean, really, really, really special movement-wise on the clay. Really, it was really interesting watching her play Wozniacki because, you know, as much as everyone talks about how Wozniacki doesn't move well on clay, I've never, you know, really seen it shown up in the way it was yesterday against Kazatkina. There were balls that Wozniacki had the foot speed to get but didn't, or when she got there she wasn't able to do it just because she didn't slide into them, whereas Kazatkina there were balls where you thought she's never gonna get there, and then suddenly she's doing this big slide and, you know, she's got the racket on the ball and she's completely back in the point. So yeah, I love the look of that match. I don't know who's going to win it, David. There you go.
No, I don't really know who's going to win it. I'd probably go for Stevens because she's been there and done it at this sort of level before, and I think she's got maybe just a bit more on her strokes. But, well, maybe not on that surface, though. Maybe the extra spin on the game of Kazatkina will come through. I'll just about go for Stevens. And team and Zverev. I think I was saying team yesterday, wasn't I?
We were both saying team. Just a very final word on Daria Kazatkina. She had to rush off from her press today. She wasn't able to have a nice afternoon off because she had to spend the day moving. Oh no, sorry. I think this was yesterday. Or was it today? Anyway, she wasn't able to have a nice relaxing day that she had planned to. Because she had to move from her Airbnb expired because she hadn't booked it beyond the first week, and she had to move into a hotel. And she was asked about it. She was asked about it in her press conference. You know, why didn't you optimistically book for it beyond week one? And she said, "Oh, you have to pay in advance, and you just never know."
Catherine. Nick Kyrgios is just walking past, lolloping around with his hoodie up. Anyway. Daria Kazatkina is in an Airbnb. I mean,
lots of them are, David. It's really, really common now. It's not. Don't what? Turn your nose up at an Airbnb. Hang on, they're not sleeping in someone's shed. Airbnbs can be.
I don't really know what they are.
Airbnbs are. It can be anything from a luxury penthouse apartment to a shed.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't really know that. That's interesting.
David Law in touch with the 21st century as always.
Yes, Yes, okay. Well, I'm learning stuff all the time. Well, now I better learn about going to get the train back home because Surbiton is starting to get a little bit dark and close up for the night. Catherine's going to go and have a cheese board and look forward to the tennis tomorrow. Do have a look at our Twitter feed and our Instagram page to see some magnificent tennis podcastaways who've all entered our competition to try to win a three-day holiday in La Manga, which we're offering at the moment. Our partners, the La Manga Club. We are also produced in association with The Telegraph, where you'll be able to read that Leighton Hewitt interview, which I've just been talking about. I've been interviewing Leighton with Charlie Eccleshare today. We are executive produced by Melanie Bowes, by Triple S, by TennisBalls.com. Our mascot is Charlie the Ferret. Catherine Whittaker, you are going to be back, I hope, with us tomorrow, are you? Am I assuming that's right? Can you stand any more after the disappointment, the disillusionment of Serena Williams against Sharapova not happening? Will you be back with us tomorrow?
Well, I intend to, but I'm not sure my heart can suffer another crushing disappointment. So I hope you're listening, Dominic Thiem and Sasha Zverev, because that really needs to be a good match. Slash the weather. If it pours with rain, I really, really, really will be disappointed. You didn't listen to me, David. There's been an animal-based entry to Tennis Podcastaways. The gauntlet has been thrown down.
What's the animal entry?
It's a cat. It's a cat curled up with a phone listening to the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Awesome indeed.
Well, all the more reason to go and have a listen. So that is something you need to go and check out. Catherine and I will be back with another tennis podcast tomorrow. Maybe I won't be. Maybe Catherine will have some way better guests. But we'll find out then, and we'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.